At the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., the past year has brought a bevy of babies. A giraffe, a gorilla, an elephant, and a tiger have all been born at the zoo, to the delight of thousands of visitors who now stand in long lines to see them. Even the ever-popular pandas are sometimes taking a back seat to the antics of Bairani, the baby tiger, or Kandula, the baby elephant. Every morning at 10 o'clock, a ritual takes place in the elephant house. Kandula gets a bath, along with his 8,000-pound mother, Shanti. At the first squirt of warm water from the hose, little Kandula scampers away like a reluctant child, running for refuge under the belly of his mother, who scoops the water greedily into her mouth. But soon, just like Gene Kelly in Singin' in the Rain, he's skipping and stomping in the water. Kandula pushes the balls, buckets, and other toys around in his cage and repeatedly dunks his head in his favorite black tub. Jim Pugh is a zoo volunteer. He's been helping the elephant keepers every day since the six-week-old Kandula was born.
All righty, we're right in the middle of Kandula's bath. The water sound that you hear is a high-pressure hose. This is the highlight of his day, and it's the highlight of the public's day.
Themselves like that.
Yeah, he's scratching like a dog or a cat.
Yeah. He's just so outgoing. I mean, just like any child. You know, everything is new. Everything is exciting.
Good morning, Kandula. Good morning.
Oh, you're all wet.
Yes.
You had a good bath.
Lucy Spellman, the zoo's director, feels very close to the animals. She's been at the zoo since 1995 as a medical officer and later chief veterinarian. She was appointed director of the zoo almost 2 years ago. Every day, Spellman makes stops like this one at the zoo. Since Kandula's birth, she's been checking on the mother, Shanti, who had some routine complications from her pregnancy. Spellman watches as the keepers bring out a large black scale.
They weigh Kandula every single day because he can gain a couple of pounds or a pound a day. So his current weight is 366 pounds. And I think they said he gained 1 pound since yesterday. And who is this right next to us? Whoa, this is close. This is really close. Who is this one? Is this an aunt or something?
Well, this is Ambika. This is our oldest elephant, also an Asian elephant.
Now, Lucy, when you first walked down here and you greeted the keepers and you went right up to the cage, and it was as if, I'm probably anthropomorphizing like crazy, but it was as if Kandula knew you and came right up to you and stuck his head through and you petted his head. Is that what's happening?
Well, the keepers are working very hard to socialize him. So he is, but since day one, he's been really friendly. So I would like to think he knows who I am. Yeah.
Well, when you pet him, yeah. We can't touch him. Is he soft and
very
fuzzy?
Very soft and wet. And, you know, this is such an exciting event for us because this particular elephant reflects a lot of work on a lot of people's part, not just our staff here, but it's a collaborative scientific effort to promote the reproduction of the Asian elephant by figuring out how to do assisted reproduction using artificial insemination. And so it's really special for all of us.
Artificial insemination, while done routinely on farm animals, is a much more complex process for wild animals. Scientists are still learning about the reproductive anatomy and hormones in elephants. It took 6 tries to impregnate Shanti.
The final part is it isn't just when does she ovulate, but you've got to have the fresh semen here from the bull. At the time, actually, there were only 3 bulls in the United States, elephant bulls, who would donate, who were trained to donate a sample. So the actual day she became pregnant, we had, as on every occasion, every 6 occasion, we had 3 elephants lined up. One of them wasn't in the mood. One of them, the airport was fogged in. So we only had 1 sample, but everything else was right and it worked.
The zoo has had what I would call a banner year for births. You've had a baby giraffe, a baby gorilla, a baby elephant, and now a baby tiger. Why is this important? Besides the fact that people come and ooh and ah, and it does bring lots of people to the zoo. Why is this important?
Well, for me it's important because I perceive there's a whole hidden zoo. There's a whole effort that not only the National Zoo, but many zoos are participating in, and that is to help conserve endangered species. We are part of the puzzle, one piece of the puzzle that it's going to take to preserve our diversity of plants and animals. In the zoo setting, we can essentially do 3 things, and this is really our mission. It's to celebrate that animal, to study it, and then help protect it. And if you think about it, if you had a herd of elephants and they were in the wild and you expected them to reproduce, that's one of our rhinos doing something. Anyway, if you expected that animal to reproduce, okay, we're looking at these herds of Asian elephants. We expect in a decade we should have X number of calves. Well, what if we don't see those calves happening? Well, why? Why not? What's the problem? Well, again, very hard to study it in that wild setting, but what if we know in captivity that we've figured out, for instance, that we can measure hormone levels in fecal samples? So we could go in the field, collect the fecal samples, and study, well, are these females cycling? Well, maybe they're not. Well, why would that be? Well, maybe their nutrition is wrong. Maybe their habitat's been altered and they're not eating the things they would normally eat. So you can go on and on, but I really think it's about we don't know enough. These animals are popular, but we don't know enough about them to maintain them in the wild, let alone, you know, in the captive setting.
In a different part of the zoo, another reproductive success story is on display. At the Gorilla House, a family of lowland gorillas romps in a huge glassed-in room. They come right up to the glass, observing the spectators who are observing them. If you listen carefully here, you'll hear the baby gorilla. 19-year-old Mandara cradles her new infant, who lolls about in her arms and clutches her chest. 15 years ago, the species survival program at the zoo didn't have a stable or genetically diverse group of lowland gorillas. This diversity is important because it's being lost in the wild. As for so many animals whose numbers are diminishing, the gorilla's biggest problem is habitat loss.
That's Kwame. This is her 2-year-old. And he's checking you out there.
Lucy, all the food that's scattered around, it looks like bits of vegetables and a lot of popcorn.
Yes, well, it's a cold day today, so the group is inside all day. So Kwame's just doing a little dance there for everybody. You know, one thing I didn't mention is that we also have cognition studies going on these gorillas. And it's actually gesture. We have a collaborative program going on studying the gestures of infant gorillas. How do they gesture and how does that help them develop their cognition or their understanding of gorilla behavior? And it all goes back to this clear, we really know now you've got to have groups of gorillas. If these youngsters don't grow up as part of a family group, they don't know behaviorally how to breed. The gorillas are very, as you see, they're very dynamic in their actions. So that's Baraka. That's our teenager, the big male.
He's pretty intimidating, yep. I'd say.
And he's getting to the age where he won't be able to stay with his family group much longer because he'll be challenging our silverback male, who is Kuya. And once he starts to challenge Kuya, they'll fight, and we'll have to move him to another group. This is sort of a play fight, you know, who's the king of the forest thing, what we're seeing right now.
The 4-year-old youngster and the teenager poke and pummel each other like feuding brothers. Part play, part fight. And then there's the newest little bundle at the zoo, in the house of the big cats. But that's not the new Sumatran tiger cub. That's Eric, his older brother. Away from Eric, in a separate area, 3-month-old Berani exhibits all the behaviors of a kitten. A 25-pound kitten, stalking grass, chewing leaves, playing with his mother. The zoo has set up a special viewing area here. Only a limited number of visitors at any one time stand in a dimly lit room. Tinted glass separates them from the mother and baby, so they can see the black and orange tigers, but the tigers can't see them.
He says, now maybe I'm going to nurse. See, this is just so amazing to me because you normally... It's very hard to see this.
The cub nursing.
Seeing the cub nurse, sure. I mean, in our exhibit, it's a huge area outside. She would be out of sight, or certainly not right in front. And it's this reflective glass and us being standing here in the dark that allows her to not be worried about us. As the keepers will tell you, she is not a calm tiger. We have some calm tigers, but she is a real tigress.
How important is it that this cub is born here now? I mean, besides the fact that you want to preserve endangered species, what is this going to teach you?
Really, for us, this Sumatran tiger is, in part, an ambassador for the animals that are left in the wild. In addition to that, there are so few left in the wild, maybe 400 or so, that the 170 that are in captivity amongst the zoos throughout the world are really critical as a total population. That's not that many Sumatran tigers, and we're really worried about them. Our head curator, Dr. John Seidensticker, has spearheaded a lot of work for many of the tiger species, and particularly for the Sumatran tiger and the Bengal tiger, trying to really work on this whole concept of corridors, that if you are worried about a group of species and their habitat is going away, maybe they are in fragmented or islands of habitat, and if you can connect those islands, you give those animals a chance to move and still be okay. And there have been some successes, particularly in Nepal, for that would be for the Bengal tiger. So that's really the crux of our efforts in the wild, is to participate in what's really a global effort to save the tiger. In Sumatra, as you may know, just a lot of devastation of their forested lands, a lot of logging and then fires, and really for this species, it's they're just running out of room. And they're just gorgeous cats.
Scientists at over 80 other zoos are also working with tigers in a managed breeding program. And there might be more good news. Lucy Spellman tells us that they think one of their sloth bears might be pregnant. You can learn more about the babies at the National Zoo and see slides and video by logging on to our website, npr.org.